hardships in times of war and peace. And never have we struck it yet in spite of foemen's fine, who cheered our crews and cheered again for showing how to fight. So here's Ghost Guard marching song. We sing on land or sea, through surf and storm and howling gale, high shall our purpose be. Semper Paratus is our guide, our fame, our glory too, to fight, to save or fight and die. Aye, Ghost Guard, we are for you.
Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly meeting. And today we are going to have with us the lovely Kate, who is the executive director for Voice of Vashon. And before we get into that, I'm going to, of course, do my regular greetings. And those are, of course, to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. And from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Stockholm on the other side. And all of the ships and aircraft and people in between, all of whom are part of Captain Joe's people and who have been incredibly generous over the time that I've been doing this broadcast from the captain's chair. The binnacle list is full of family, friends, classmates, and shipmates. And because there are so many entries on the binnacle list today as we come up into the festive holiday season and whichever holiday it is that you celebrate, that rather than go through in particulars, it is my wish and my desire and my command from the captain's chair that if you are missing any one of the shots that are going to help to keep all of us healthy, now is the time for you to make that appointment and get down there and have that job done. Having said all of those things, it is always a pleasure to spend some time with the lovely Kate, who, as the executive director for Voice of Vashon, is responsible for raising all of the money, which is what keeps your captain on the air. And I have to say, before Kate comes in to say something, and I know that she's got something to say, before she has something to say, I have to thank all of Captain Joe's people who have been so very generous. It is maybe a little bit of healthy selfishness on my part because I enjoy doing this broadcast so much. And because I know that some of the things that I put out have been helpful to other people. In particular, the things that have happened since Mary's death now 18 months ago. And some of the things that we've talked about both on this broadcast and also personally tell me that we collectively have been doing some good work. And so, Kate, I know that you have been steaming ahead, full speed ahead, and so it's now for you to deliver greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. And in particular, I want you to talk briefly, because we have a great deal to cover today. I want you to talk briefly about the voice, what the significance of our holiday campaign, Old Man Winter, is all about. And then should you choose to be effusive in your thanks to all of Captain Joe's people, you have my leave to do that.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much, Captain Joe, for having me today. It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you for a little while.
Far too long.
And you had signed up to be one of our writers, our addressers. And stuffers, and we were actually relieved. You were relieved of your duties because we got all of our envelopes addressed and stuffed on one day this year. So that's part and parcel of our Old Man Winter campaign. We send out letters to some of our donors, our many fabulous donors, to just say thank you and to remind people that, yes, this is Old Man Winter campaign season. The Old Man Winter campaign is basically The biggest campaign of the year that supports our emergency alert system. So our emergency alert system, and I believe Captain Joe's people are aware of this, but we are on an island, a true island. We don't have a bridge. We are not a peninsula. And sometimes, you know, oftentimes our news from the Seattle area or the Tacoma area is not relevant to what's happening here on Vashon. And our emergency alert system and our volunteer team there, they are the ones that keep our community safe and informed. And any updates like trees blocking the path or power outages or things like that, you can always get from our emergency alert system. Any unusual ferry activities, and we've had, a few.
Yes, indeed.
So that's what the Old Man Winter campaign is all about, and it's our biggest fundraiser of the year.
So it is my custom when I have somebody on, and I remind everybody who listens to this broadcast that I do not have guests on this program. I have friends. And Kate and I have become friends. We have worked together on several different things. And it is my custom when I have friends sitting across from me in the Gene Bosch studio and the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and stream live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org that I make a donation so that everybody who is listening gets the idea as to how it can be done. And so I am passing, this is the word picture, I am passing over to the lovely Kate the envelope, which is a donation on behalf of all of Captain Joe's people from the captain's chair for not only to help with Old Man Winter, but also to help keep all of the programming that we have on The Voice. If you are interested in any other programs besides From the Captain's Chair, should that be a faintly possible thing, you can go on to the page which lists all of the programming that we have, which is on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, do you have any ideas about how well we're doing overall for the year? Are we in pretty fair financial shape? In other words,
yes.
Do all of those of Captain Joe's people, are we at risk of my being toppled from the captain's chair?
You know what? We are actually in very good standing. And I do have to say that I've actually spoken with several of Captain Joe's people to say thank you. I try to call everybody and just say a heartfelt thanks. You know, sharing your love and your gifts with Voice of Vashon is super meaningful. And I believe that deserves at least a phone call, for heaven's sakes. And I love talking to your people. They're absolutely so generous. And they love your show. And for that reason, we do these fundraising campaigns to keep your show on the air as well as, you know, as you said, a number of other shows as well.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, Kate, because I have had messages from some of Captain Joe's people who have been the recipients of your phone calls, and they always remark on how gracious you are and how impressed they are that somebody would take the time and the trouble to actually make a telephone call and thank them. I thank them for many things every time I broadcast because it is this broadcast is one of the anchor points of my week. And so we're going to move on to my regular features. And as again, my custom, I invite you to make any commentary on anything that we talk about. And even if you feel that you don't know anything about it, because I frequently comment on things about which I probably don't know very much. And so I'm going to start off by asking you, were you, let's see, you were not born at Pearl Harbor.
No, I was not.
By Pearl Harbor, but your father was.
He was.
And your father was in the Royal Canadian Navy.
Yes.
So has he ever told you his memories of what happened on 7 December 1941?
So he was just a wee babe at that time. So no, not really. Like, I don't think he has any personal memories, probably some from his family, but not necessarily of that particular day.
And I can detect just a trace of the Canadian accent in your own accent.
I've been back and forth so much these days. I feel like I live there.
my Mary R was Canadian. She was from Prince Edward Island.
Yeah.
And there are a number of different Canadian accents, eh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, there are.
So the Pearl Harbor was 80 years ago today.
Mm-hmm.
And so the magazine for today is a magazine called Naval History. And alas, it is from the 70th birthday, Naval History Magazine of December 2011. And you, all of you, Captain Joe's people who are interested in finding this, should be able to go into the Naval Institute archives and come up with an electronic version of this particular issue of Naval History.
Hmm.
And I bring it up because, first of all, it came to hand as I was doing some policing up in Captain's Quarters, and it has a wonderful... almost the entire issue is devoted to Pearl Harbor. And the lead article is called Target Pearl Harbor. But when you get into the magazine, it has a fold-out guide to the attack strike force and to a number of other pieces of information which I have not ever seen. And I'm passing this over to Kate. She's going to give it back to me because it is not included in the gift that all of us have just made to the Voice of Vashon. But even though it's 10 years old, the information in it, of course, is current, painstakingly researched, and I am sure that anyone who wants to do a little bit of digging can find online the online edition of Naval History for December 2011. And it has just wonderful artwork and wonderful maps and charts and all sorts of other information, which I have not seen in any other place.
Mm-hmm. I also
commend Naval History Magazine to anyone who is interested in naval history. It has a lot of Coast Guard history in it as well. And since my service goes back to 1790, there's a lot of history for us to cover. So that's the magazine, 10 years old, but I believe that I read someplace that... that a magazine is new if you have not yet read it. And so there you have the magazine for today. I have been contacted in this last week by several other of Captain Joe's people, and one of them is my brother-in-law, who I visited in Vermont over Thanksgiving, and he sends me an article about a part of our history of which I knew nothing until I got his article, and that's about a Boeing built here in Seattle, a Boeing Clipper 314, the Boeing model number for that particular seaplane was the model 314. Just as today, Boeing aircraft are in the 700 series. And so the Boeing Clipper was an enormous seaplane, about the size, but maybe not the weight, of a 747. And this particular one, whose tail number was November Charlie, in those days, N numbers were often NC. Her number was November Charlie 18602, under the command of Captain Robert Ford. And he held a special certificate at that time, which was a master of flying boats. And so he had this aircraft on a flight which was going around the world, headed toward the United States. But when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on 7 December, he completely reversed course and went all the way around the world, back the other way to New York. The total voyage was about 30,000 nautical miles, an incredible story. And it came from the New York Times. So if you are a subscriber to New York Times and you have the ability to go into their electronic stories, Kate is sitting across from me. She's wearing a mask, so I couldn't tell whether she is truly gobsmacked. But she's nodding, yes, she is. It's an incredible story. And many thanks to Dr. McDonald for sending that to me. I would not have had it any other way. And I am just delighted to be able to pass it on about a Seattle-constructed aircraft, a Boeing 314 Clipper. I believe that there may be one of those Clippers still in existence, but of that I'm not sure. And just as I have asked for information about Spirit Airlines in a recent broadcast, I'm also asking if anybody has any information about one of the Boeing Model 314 Clippers, if any of them are still in existence. I would really like to hear about it. Another contact that I had during the week was from a friend, a colleague, an author, and an expert in the Arctic and in the Antarctic. He and I work together. That's Captain and Doctor and Professor Lawson Brigham. A couple of weeks ago, Lawson had sent me a message saying that he was working on what I interpret as the sequel to his seminal work, which is about the Russian North Sea route, the Northern Sea route. Lawson knows more about the Russian Arctic than probably any other American, has written extensively about it, and I'm the proud owner of an inscribed copy of his book on that. He is working on an update to that. That's my interpretation of it, that it will be an update. And so I responded to his message, and I sent him a note saying how proud I was to be an owner of that book, and I look forward to the sequel, because a lot has happened in the Arctic since Lawson finished his book, of which he was the editor. He collected a number of essays. I got a wonderful response to that, and we've reopened a line of communications that was dormant for far too long. So I'm going to tell you a Lawson Brigham Christmas story, because I always tell a Christmas story. Lawson and I were classmates at the University of Cambridge, and Lawson had come back to the United States over the Christmas season for some personal reason. And he arrived back in London Heathrow on Christmas Day. There is not much that moves anywhere in the UK, and in particular around London, on Christmas Day. And so he was stuck down at London Heathrow, and there was no way for him to get from there to back up to Cambridge. Telephone rang on Christmas Day. I picked it up, and it was my friend and colleague, Captain Lawson Brigham, USCG, retired. And he said, "I'm down here at London Heathrow and I can't get out." And I said, "Well, I'll come on down and get you." And Mary R. said, she said, "Was that Lawson?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Is he down at Heathrow?" And I said, "Yes, he's at Heathrow." And I said, "I'm going to go down and pick him up." And so she said, "Well, then I better get one of the rooms ready." And I said, "No, he's probably going to go back to his own flat." So anyway, I drove down and picked him up, and it was the only time in which it was almost completely wide open from Cambridge all the way down to the M30, which is the big, highway that goes around London.
Yeah.
And out to Heathrow, and scooped him up, rescued him from all of the Welsh and Cornishmen down there in London Heathrow, and brought him back to Cambridge. So Lawson has been very, very busy. He not only was with me in Cambridge, but he and I worked together in Coast Guard headquarters in my Twilight tour. And it was largely Lawson's work that was instrumental in completing the documentation that got us ready to begin finally, many years later, the construction of the icebreaker that we now know as the Coast Guard cutter Healy. It was lovely to hear from Lawson, and we're going to talk some more, and I am going to figure out how I can get him to come on the broadcast and talk to us about the Arctic, because the book today is a book to which Captain, Dr. Professor Lawson Brigham has contributed. It's called Arctic Imperatives, and it is a report by the Council of Foreign Relations. It's not very big, and it was written back in 2017, I believe. And Lawson was a contributor to that particular book. I'm not saying that anybody can go to Barnes & Noble and order a copy of this, because it is one of those reports that was done by a quasi-governmental organization and probably sits on many shelves, but is not available for purchase. But I am going to do some reading from it. The people who actually headed up the task force were Thad Allen, who was the retired commandant of the Coast Guard, and Christy Todd Whitman, who was the retired governor of the state of, I believe, New Jersey. So the title of the book is Arctic Imperatives, Reinforcing U.S. Strategy on America's Fourth Coast. And here we are 5 years later, and we're still mucking about, and we still are a year away farther from having the new icebreaker that we so desperately need up in the Arctic. Which brings me to another old friend and colleague who checked in during the week, and that is my good friend and counselor. And let me see where I've got my notes here. Carl Swedberg, who, among other things, is an icebreaker captain, was a Coast Guard attorney. And that was how I first knew him. He came to defend a young man under my command who desperately needed to be moved on to other employment. So his note from Carl was that the icebreaker that is supposed to be under construction, is her delivery date has now been pushed back for another year. So for the things that are going on in the world, so much is going on in the world. Kate, what are your plans for the Christmas holidays?
Well, I'm going back up to Canada, since I'm there every weekend of my life. This will be a Christmas that we'll all be able to get together again, which is really lovely.
It is indeed, yes.
Yeah, heading up to my brother's house in Whistler. And I've been moving my family from Kelowna, British Columbia, which is interior, to White Rock. So now all three of us, my brother, my parents, and we'll all be within 2.5-3 hours of each other, as opposed to 6 hours plus more with all the roads and all the trouble that they've had with the mudslides up in British Columbia. Yes. It's been hard going. So, yeah, that's what we're doing. What are you doing?
Well, are you going to have a big Christmas tree this year in your home?
Maybe. I mean, honestly, like, I've been gone so much, and I'm home one weekend in December. So at this point, I'm thinking I might put Christmas lights outside and call it a day.
Mm. So
which is highly unusual for me, because I always do Christmas with trees and everything. But it's just
so this year, if you have a big Christmas tree, do you put tinsel on it?
I don't put tinsel on it, no.
Oh.
Yep, just decorations and things that I can reuse. Yeah.
So I'm a great person for tinsel.
Tinseler.
And I am a tinsel thrower rather than a tinsel placer.
Yes, definitely a thrower.
Yeah. Are you a thrower when you have tinsel?
When I have tinsel, I am a definite thrower, not a placer.
So it is my custom around Christmas time to tell stories about Christmases in which I was deployed or where I was in command at some other place. So this one has to do with when I was the commander up in the American Sioux, which, of course, is right across the river from the Canadian Sioux.
Mm-hmm.
I regret so much the necessity for us to ever have a border between those two countries, because I went back and forth between the two Siouxs all the time,
mm-hmm.
either by vehicle or by one of the boats that was assigned to my command. And so every Christmas, I was the commander for 3 years, and for all 3 years, we always had a big family Christmas party, Christmas dinner, and a time to decorate the tree. I made it known to the in particular, the Wives Club that was in charge of getting the tree up and then getting all the decorations. I made it clear to them that we were, first of all, going to decorate it with as much stuff from the children as we could get together. And secondly, that we were going to have tinsel. because I grew up with tinsel and I continue today.
Yep.
In fact, this year, I'm going to have the biggest tree that I can get into Captain's Quarters. My daughter is coming over this week, and we're going to put up the biggest tree that we can find.
Oh, fun.
The last thing that goes on the tree is the tinsel. And so when we had these parties in the Sioux, I made it known that I was not only we were going to have tinsel, but that I was a tinsel thrower. Some of the ladies were tinsel placers.
That's work. That's work.
Yes. It's not only work, but they go up and they place one strand, one strand of tinsel, then step back and look at the effect. And so what happened was each year there was a part of the tree that was blocked off, and that was the captain's part of the tree, and I got to throw the – after all, I was the captain,
exactly.
It was in my command, and I commanded a tree, and I commanded one piece of it where there is these balls of tinsel that are hanging from the tree, and not each individual tinsel thing placed on it. Mary R., by the way, was a tinsel placer. So,
was she? Oh, my gosh.
She was a tinsel placer. And so all of the trees that we had in all of the years that we were together, the tinsel was carefully placed except in one part of it, which was my part, and that was where the tinsel got thrown. So what do you know about polar bears? You're a Canadian girl. What do you know about polar bears?
Well, Churchill, Manitoba is on my bucket list of places to go because
okay.
they have, at some points, more polar bears than humans.
That's
in that
right.
little town, yeah.
And not only that, but they take care of the Dempster area.
Yes, they do.
And when you go tour the Dempster area, you do it in special vehicles that
yes.
are protected. So, yes, mm-hmm. steel cages around them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you know that polar bears have no natural predators?
Except for us, I guess.
Except, well, not yeah. counting human
yeah.
beings. That's right. And along with orca, which are here, we have them here.
Mm-hmm.
And another animal, creature that we have here, bald eagles. Bald eagles have no natural predators.
Oh.
And I bring that up because we are coming to the end of our time together. And I just wanted everybody to be very careful around polar bears. We don't have them here on the magical Isle of Vashon yet. But should we ever, you want to make sure that you give them plenty of room because they will come after you with great enthusiasm. And people who work on the ice up in the Arctic have to be very careful around them. So it is just about to the end of our time together, lovely Kate. So would you be kind enough to give us any remarks that you would like to make in the way of greetings of the season?
Greetings
to
of
all
the
of
season.
Captain Joe's people.
Yes, I look forward to connecting with more of Captain Joe's people this holiday season. And again, thank you for the conversations. Thank you for sending us love. And wishing you all a happy, happy, and healthy holiday season.
So we can all of us agree with that. And so I'm closing this by saying that I have already had my first interview with Santa.
Ooh.
Out at Point Robinson on Sunday, the Lighthouse Santa made an appearance. And he was particularly effusive in his greetings to not only to the magical Isle of Vashon, but in particular to all of Captain Joe's people, and in particular to Voice of Vashon, because he knows how important the Voice of Vashon and the voice is to the island community. And so I am passing on to all of Captain Joe's peoples the greetings of the Lighthouse Santa with my thanks to him personally for his appearance. He was just wonderful with all the children that were out there.
Aww.
And unfortunately for you, lovely Kate, you were not there.
I wasn't.
When Santa was delivering his hose. And so I am doing it on his behalf.
Thank you.
And so, once again, dear hearts, all of Captain Joe's people, we have come to the end of our time together. Made especially great for me because I always enjoy spending time with the lovely Kate. And it is my wish and my hope and my command that each of you who is responsible for somebody else, watch their six, take good care of them, and take good care of yourself because We've had enough sadness in these last 2 years to last all of us for more than just a lifetime. And so with that, this is your Captain Joe up in the chair, on station, and watching properly.